Welcome to the pod. Welcome to Embers of the Bonfire. This is your host, Hara bin Najjar. And today, our guest is the creator of Rahina, a day one, a ride or die family, someone who is super creative and super loving, my sister, Fatma bin Najjar. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Anytime. Today's topic is making the unknown an ally. What does that mean to you?
Oof, that's a deep question. Yeah. I feel like for the past, I would say maybe 4 or 5 years, it's been something that's progressively more and more present in my life, the unknown. It's been coming up a lot. I feel like, especially 2 years ago, or is it 3 years now almost, that I quit my job, I was just ready for that to be over. I didn't really have a plan A or B or C, no plan. I just knew that I needed a fresh start, and I gave all that I could give to my job and that stage of my life, and I was ready for something new. And that leap was, it was intense. I wouldn't say it was the first intense thing that I've ever been through, but it was much needed. And also, I think when it comes to the unknown, I kind of feel like I don't have a choice. I just need to jump. It's hard to logicalize it.
But that's amazing, though, because everyone has the chance to jump, but they don't. There's a lot of fear and resistance to jumping. The fact that you feel like you always have to jump shows just your, you know, sense of bravery and courage to make those leaps.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people that I know aren't happy with their jobs and aren't willing to make that jump. So why do you feel like you have that feeling that you need to make those jumps?
It feels to me that it's a must. It doesn't feel much like a choice. It's like, Fatwa, you're Yari, this is it. I think if I think about it, like, let me just think about it for a little bit. When it came to, let's say, quitting my job, that's a good example. At that point, when I did quit my job, before that, by 2 months, I decided this year is going to be my last year. So
I remember that.
I planned it. So I was like, okay, I had a little bit left of a loan. So I said, I'm going to pay it off in a year. I'm going to save as well so that I can leave and I will think about what is my plan. And that was the plan. 2 months before I quit, that was the plan. And no, I will quit. One day, something very normal that happened at work that really was very normal. And it happens quite often. And I've dealt with it 1,000 million times. And it was fine in the end. But it happened and it triggered me. And I was like, that's it. There was this deep, clear knowing. And you're like, halas, okay. So
it's time to jump.
It was time to jump. Mm-hmm. I was very upset. Something very tiny. That was, I guess, it's not okay. I think what happened was not really okay, but I have normalized it because it's something that happens often. So I've normalized it and everyone around me has normalized it because this is just the corporate world, I guess, for a lot of people, or that's how they would perceive it. You know, things happen and things do, and we deal with it. It's not personal. It's not deep. You know what I mean? But the fact that something so tiny can send me off into this emotional roller coaster. And it was really funny because I was meeting with a friend after. We had planned to meet and I messaged her and I told her, I'm literally a mess right now. I don't think I can meet with you. And she's like, it's okay. I'm here to hold space. Like, I'm ready to receive you as you are. And I think we spoke for 4 hours. And it's crazy because I didn't realize, but she went through the exact same thing. And we spoke about it. So that gave me reassurance. And we were sitting in her business that was beautiful and successful and well-made. And this was post her quitting her job. And then I spoke with at that time, my bestie and also life coach. And we spoke, I think, for hours and hours and hours. And that was it. I got back home. I wrote my letter of resignation. I sat down the next day with my boss and I handed it to her. And she was like shocked. And I was like, yeah, that's it. And everyone was worried for me because it was COVID. And I didn't have plans and I didn't have that much saved, you know, and I still didn't even pay off my loan yet, you know, but I did all of that in a month. In 2 months, because my end of service is 2 months before but I had 2 months notice and then I could leave my job. So I did all of that in 2 months and it was very calm. This is just the next step. It's like, I don't know, when you graduate from sixth grade, you go to seventh grade. That's just the path. So that's how normal it felt.
So how did you deal with that initial storm?
In retrospect, I would say the number one thing was co-regulation, because immediately after work, I drove to my friend and we met for hours. Immediately after that, I met with my friend and we walked on the beach and we talked for hours. Immediately after that, I went home and I wrote my letter of resignation and I emailed it to my sister and I walked into her room and I was just like, can you edit it for me if there's anything to edit, please? That was it.
That's powerful, because your friend was an example of been there, done that, and is successful.
Yeah.
Despite jumping into the unknown.
Yeah.
So you had that evidence, you know, from the outside world that it's possible, let alone your friend who's also a life coach who helped you support you emotionally. And that's key, to have that support system. After that calm period in the next grade, so how did you cope with that? Like, what did you start doing?
So the first thing I did as soon as I got my last salary was I decided I really need a fresh start. Like, I need a white blank page where I can start to build on my own terms. And so I was looking at direct flights that didn't have very like intense COVID regulations. And I happened on Zanzibar. I've been to Zanzibar before. So this was my second time in Zanzibar. I wanted to be in a place that feels like home, but is not home. I wanted a tiny bit of comfort, but still, there's still a lot of exploration to do. So I booked my flight. I went to Zanzibar. I stayed for months in Zanzibar. And I think my first month, I booked myself a little room on a top floor of this cottage overlooking the beach. And also, a week before I left my job, I had found out that someone very close to me passed away. So basically, that, my trip in Zanzibar was one of the most difficult, most uncomfortable, most painful, most, I guess, trip that I've ever probably had in my life. It was painful to go through this kind of grief for the first time ever. And I was alone and I didn't really have people to co-regulate with, and the irsal there was non-existent, basically. It was really like, especially the first place I went to, it was very difficult. But then things changed. But I think I really needed to, in that moment, I made a decision that, you know what? I'm in paradise, literally.
Yeah.
I'm in paradise. But equivalently, I am also in the deepest depths of hell.
Like, that's internally,
Yeah. It's wild. It was so crazy because every time I look out my window, I have the capacity to think, wow, beautiful. But also, it was hard because I was, again, like I said, I was in hell. But I needed that time and I made that choice. I'm like, you know what, Fatma? This is your opportunity to give yourself this space that you've always been dreaming of having to really, really, really allow yourself to feel it all the pain, all the grief, all the emotions, you know, the everything. And it was hard. but necessary.
Why necessary?
I think if we're going to talk about grades, right? Between each grade, you have a summer holiday. And in this summer holiday, a lot happens. And when you meet your friends again after everyone went off on a summer holiday, there's a lot of difference, but they're still the same people and they're still, you're still the same friends for the most part, really. But a lot has changed. Whoever went off to do this thing or whoever, you know, balagh, they got, you know, puberty, their voices changed, they look hairier, you know what I mean? And this was my summer holiday. This was like the summer holiday of my dreams, even though it was horrible for the beginning bit, because you need to make space. If you have, I think in my path in that time, even though my job was like very short hours, I was done by 2:15, I was done. But because it consumed me, it bled onto the rest of my life. And it was just the feelings, the discomfort, or whatever it was, Yani. It overtook my life, even beyond my working hours. I needed to kind of really sit with myself and establish new grounds. I needed to allow myself to space in order for me to kind of clear some things away and make space for new things to come, new beginnings to happen, new growth, expansion, and all of that. And when you're working, because Yani, this is my third job. So at that point, I had been working for 7 years. And before that, university, and before that, school. It felt to me that I was always doing something for someone else. I was, you know, trying to study well so that I could impress my parents. I was trying to get a good grades. And then in university, you know what, like my parents are paying for this. Like I best do it. You know, I gotta make things happen. Yeah, and graduate and do well and learn and all of that. And then after that, okay, alhain, I've literally all my life at that point, I've been studying for the very moment that I get a first job. And I got my first job and I worked. As I said, when I left my last job, it was 7 years. I was working for someone. There was always someone above me. There was always someone telling me what to do. I was always doing something for someone else. I think by the end of it, why did I want to give myself space? Because I needed to figure out, but what do I want? What do I want? What do I want to do for myself? What do I want first? What are my needs? What are my desires? What do I want to do for myself? How can I be of service to myself and others? Because I feel like if you haven't had that on lock for yourself, it's very hard for you to be of service to others, to be of service to your community, to be part of a community or a friendship group or a hadha, because you haven't addressed your own needs. What am I trying to say? I think what I'm trying to say is I wanted to know, like, who's Fatma? Can I introduce myself to you, me to me, Annie, and find out, like, what do you really like? Do you really like this? Or did someone else tell you to like it? Another part of that is being a girl growing up in this community, especially that I have a very mixed background, you know? So like in one summer, I could be on a beach with my cousins, but I can also be wearing my shela and at home stuck with just women in the same summer. It's because I come from two very different backgrounds. It's just very also like extremely different, right? There's a lot of similarities, طبعاً. As I grew, I found out, but I think I'm digressing, but I think just to kind of round up that point is I was always living for someone else and my body and my mind and my feelings were always owned by someone else, whether it was my parents or my school or my university or my job or my colleagues or whatever is happening in that moment. And I think I needed to give myself a break from all of it in order to kind of figure out what does it look like for Fatma if she's able to own her thoughts and feelings and her body and herself?
Those are powerful questions to ask yourself. And I feel like that's, from what I've seen, since you've left your job, you're so much more happier, you know, in this exploratory stage of who are you? What makes you happy? All of these questions you asked and taking your power back in terms of not giving it from outside and following the rat race, but or participating in the rat race, but more cultivating your own inner peace and happiness. That's powerful. Your light definitely shines through because you've had, I feel, that space to get to know yourself a bit more. And that, I feel like you're just so much more at peace because you know yourself more and you're doing stuff because you want to do them, not because someone outside you told you this is what needs to be done to have a quote-unquote quality life or the standard of life that society has created for everyone. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, first of all, to getting to that stage. And I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Yeah, because that takes a lot.
Thank you.
That takes a lot of courage to step out and jump into the unknown and not know what where your next step is necessarily, but take that step to figure out who you really are. Mm. And from there, building from that. That's powerful.
Speaking of courage, in 2016, I went and I did my first retreat ever. My first introduction, I guess, into mental health was this retreat in the UK. It was like a group therapy, and there were like therapists there and things like that. And it really was a very big changing point in my life. And I would say that the main things that this retreat addressed, it's called the Hoffman process. The main thing that it addressed, I think, was making peace with the parental figures and any issues that may stem from the parental figures in our lives, whether it's your parents, whether it's your adoptive parents, whether you're in boarding school, depends. Everyone, for everyone, it was different. And in the end, they did something very playful where they gave us each like a sack. They were trying to connect us to our inner child. There was this Christmas kind of vibe, like, you know, celebratory gift giving. There was this big sack that you would sit on a chair and then you would reach into the sack and pull something out. It's a stuffed toy. They're all stuffed toys. So you pull something out and then you would put it to your ear and you would listen and see the first thing that comes out, you would speak it out to the group. And mine was a black, surprise, surprise, mine was a black cat. For those who don't know me, I have a black cat. His name is Mushi. Anyway, it was a black cat. And what he said to me was three words. And until this day, it's been literally a mantra. And the words are, keep the courage.
Oh, goosebumps.
Yeah. Since that day.
Yeah.
So thanks. It's hard. I mean, we're talking about, I guess, the end of the spectrum, which is the beautiful and empowering bit of the unknown. But if you're going to the opposite end of the spectrum, I've been struggling with it too, because it's hard. It's very hard. And when you are paving a path that is very new to you and very new to even those around you, it's hard because I don't really have references.
Yeah, it's never been done before.
Yeah, I am the reference.
Yeah, you're the trailblazer. You're the example.
And I think things don't always work out. But now I know that I'm in a good place now, but I've been struggling a lot for the past year. And it's because I think what I figured out is the reason why I've been struggling is because I was trying to take methodologies that used to work for me in my corporate world life into my new life now. And that's where there's a disconnect. You see, those methods were tried and tested. You get me? But they don't work in this new life. And so it was disheartening me. Like, why isn't things working out? And why am I struggling? And why do I feel like I need to work 1,000 times harder? And even when I do, it just, there's a lot of obstacles. There's a lot of things that I don't want to do. There's a lot of, you know, so I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm just trying to say that it's not always easy. And there is a lot of learning that I have to do and figuring things out as I go along and really, I really have to remind myself, and no, Fatima, like, you are now your anchor. You are now your anchor. Before, there's always something to work towards. There is always a shahada to work towards. There was always a certain grade to work towards. There was always a certain goal that was clear and known. But this time, it's like, I just want to do good by myself, by the people that I love, by my community. I just want to do good for, I guess, yani, my creative side as well, because I feel there's a lot of value in that I'm figuring out. And I've been really interested in this concept of soft power and how when it comes to soft power, like Korea, for example, they're everywhere, you know, culturally, they're everywhere, like music, books, shows,
cars, yeah.
Cars everywhere. Yeah. And it's called soft power because it's not like threatening. They're not trying to like enforce. They're like, here are the things that represent us as a people. Enjoy. And people are enjoying, you know? And I feel like I'm interested in that, and I'm interested in doing that for my own, for me and my people around me. So I don't know where I was going with that point.
There's a book on that, by the way. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's Dr. Hawkins, Power versus Force.
Okay.
And he talks about where force, when you force things, they have like a timed effect. But power, it has like such a long lasting effect. Like the powerful people, that the influential people, such as the prophets and people who like promoted peace, they, like Nelson Mandela, for example, they're effect is so much more lasting than someone who has a negative context, you know, who used force instead of power. That idea of power is, yeah, it's real. It's more sustainable. It's more long lasting. And it's more in flow, if that makes sense, once you tap into it. Now, for someone, for example, who's like listening and isn't happy with their current circumstances, like whether it's their job or whatever it may be, their relationship or just in life, and they're scared to make that jump or make a different change. It doesn't have to be something so big as well, something small, but to make that jump, how would you advise them? How would they make that jump, and how can they sustain being in the unknown?
Okay, wow. Just because I went through something, I might not necessarily be the right person to give advice on it, but if there's anything that I've learned, and I would refer back to the story I just told about the stuffed toy cat that I pulled out. Why did that stay with me? Because in that moment, I was in a sense, I was connected to my inner child. There was no difference between little Fatima and Fatima in that moment. We were one. If anything, my advice would be is think about what are the things that you used to do as a kid. Try to build a relationship with little you through that connection. Because you know what? Like a lot of the things that I'm doing now in my new career, my creative career and path, they're things I used to do as a kid. It blows my mind. It blows my mind.
Can you give us examples?
Okay, I'll tell you.
Of that.
I'll tell you. For example, I make jewelry, right? When I was a kid, I had these little jewelry packs, you know, these plastic beads. And I remember, I think it was Home Center at that point. They had one that was more culturally appropriate. You know, there was a little bit more triangular things and more tribal looking things. I was like, whoa, you know, because it was very close. It feels close to me. And I remember making bracelets for everybody, whether it was like with thread, whether it was with beads, whether it's kida. There was a phase. I had that phase. Another thing is working in film, whether it's creating concepts, whether it's producing. Me and my bestie at the time, we used to create some crazy, funny, random movies. And I still have those movies till this day. And I watch them still because they really make me laugh. Some of them are very cringe. very cringe. And I'm not going to get into that because very cringe. And I think you know what I'm talking about. And
a couple of thousand views.
20,000 views, I think, or 25,000 views on YouTube. Yeah, I could have started a career, but cringe, cringe. Only my very close friends have seen it. And not many people commented. There was more laughter and really like crying laughter of how cringe it was. And I'm doing that now.
But that's the soul. That's the young child thing. Mm.
I think that would be my advice is connect, you know, sit with yourself and connect with little you. What did you used to love to do? Is there a version of it that you can do today in your free time? For example, another thing is I used to always write books, stories, short stories. And it was all to do with the ocean. And about a month ago, I just wrote the first draft of children's book. What really pushed me to do that is Aden, you know, my baby bestie, and your son. Because I'm like, you know what? What I did was I used an old story that I had created as a child that I don't have the reference of, just its memory. And I wrote it one day on the beach in Arabic. And I would ideally want it to be bilingual, but I wrote it in Arabic. And it's an ongoing project. This is what I mean by really, really connect, because I feel like when you think about the properties or the way of a child, they're not afraid of the unknown. They will stick their finger in an electric socket. You know what I mean? And they will do like jump like crazy onto the floor and it's marble. No fear. They just go for it.
They haven't learned fear yet.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that would be my advice, because there's a lot to learn from children and there's a lot to learn from you as a child beyond the traumatic events and beyond all the teachings that we were taught by all of the people around us, other adults around us, whether it was school, whether it was our parents, our elder siblings. I think when you are most connected to your inner child, there is a certain really, I don't know, this sweet feeling that is a little bit encountering toward, it counters a little bit the fear that we as adults would have. I would say that would be my advice. And I think that looks differently for everybody. You guys kind of need to figure out what that looks like for you.
And ask those questions.
Mm-hmm.
So would you say, since you made that jump into the unknown, would you say you're happier now?
1,000,000,000%. Not even a doubt. Like, yeah.
Can you imagine if you're still working at that corporate job for just 1 second and dealing with that grief, not being able to deal with that grief in that time, like not being in that beautiful space, not being able to, you know, have your business, which starting your business and being your young, playful self, that wouldn't have existed, you know, if you didn't make that leap.
So, I can't imagine.
Yeah.
I cannot. I cannot imagine, sarahatan, yani. I'm very grateful. Again, it's not like all hunky-dory, but even still, I am happy. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I'm so grateful every day. I'm so grateful.
So would you say the unknown is your ally now, if you really think about it?
Ally. It's really funny, you know, because the unknown is, I think it's the reality. But because we're also delusional in our lives of we have a certain structure and we have certain expectations of how things are supposed to be, we don't see that the unknown is truth.
Yeah, it's happening all the time.
It's truth.
Yeah.
Facts. I would say the unknown and I are probably friends. Maybe not allies, probably friends. Because we fight sometimes.
Friends is good, though.
It is good.
Yeah. Okay, so time to wrap up. I have the final 4 questions.
Mm.
So past, present, and future are the first 3. So regarding this topic, what would you tell your past younger self?
Okay, so honestly, thinking about little Fatma and all the wild stuff that I used to do, I would say keep going and keep going. And when we're kids, we want to grow old fast and we want to be adults fast. Little do we know, adulthood is not easy. What I would want to tell my little self is, or past self, is keep going with the way that you are right now and use the way that you are right now as an anchor and carry it with you even into all versions of your future self.
I need to elaborate on anchor for a second. What does what does that mean exactly?
So this is something that's been also, I guess, an important part of me these days, because when I realized that when I lost my job, I realized that I put a lot of my self-value on my job and my identity into my job. And no, I am this and all of my worth is related to it. And my, yani, it's actually very crazy how having a job became my anchor. And then I lost it in the deep oceans. I lost it, you know, and I'm like, whoa. I have to kind of navigate blind for ages. And where do I reach? Where do I put my feet? Who do I grab onto? What do I lean on? So there was a lot of this pitter-pattering around in the water trying to figure out, like, where is my anchor? And because of the unknown, and because everything was unknown, and because of all of these changes in my life, there was nothing that I could attach myself to for comfort or a safety net or anything. There was nothing, nothing outside of me. And then I started to realize, this is why, because it's not outside of you, ya binti, yani. It's you. It's you. It's you. It's this little you that wants to create and make things and connect with people. And I am the anchor. I am the anchor that's within. And these feelings of, yani, coming into my own is the anchor. Coming into myself is an understanding, you know, my desires and my needs and my passions and things I'm interested in, all of that, like really getting to know myself. I started to realize, the one thing that's constant in my life is me. So this is what I can fall back on and lean back on. And this is, I am my safety net. And I'm not saying it in a very like conceited way. I mean, for example, let's say a project doesn't work out because of one reason or the other. What happens? Then I go into my space and then I, you know, grief it out and then I feel it out and I process it and I go through the motions. And throughout, like, I'm there, me. So being an anchor for myself is this concept that I've been, I guess, introduced to very recently in life, maybe in the past year or so. And I think that's why I had a lot of difficulty around it, because I think for the most part, because we are always taught to, yani, trust the elders or someone in the hierarchy, whether it's a job or whatever, we lost trust in ourselves. And gaining this trust back, me trusting myself and my abilities and my existence and my capabilities and what I, as Fatma, can offer the world and my community and my job and whatever it is, I lost it. So now I've been working on gaining it, and it's like, so that is also coming into this whole concept of being my own anchor. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
Okay, for the second question, for your present question, what are you most grateful for right now in your life?
I think I'm most grateful for the people that are around me. Because seriously, I am so lucky. Alhamdulillah. Wallah, alhamdulillah. Every time anything happens, I feel like there's always someone that is there for me, that can co-regulate with me, that I can go out with, that I can do things, that I can share with, that I don't need to edit any part of myself. So I am so, so grateful for all of the people that I love that are around me. Every day I'm just like, alhamdulillah. And I'm just, I'm happy. I'm grateful. Alhamdulillah.
That's powerful to have people that you can be yourself with.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
And for the future, what do you pray for?
Oh my God. The first thing that came to my mind, I feel like this is not very deep, but like...
Does it have to be?
I mean, what do I pray for? Like, wallah, I want to lose weight. Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, for reals. That's one of the things. Yeah. I think another thing I pray for is more unconditional acceptance of myself. It comes down to that.
Yeah. That's the inner and then the outer.
Yeah.
And for your final question, what is your current superpower?
My current superpower. I feel like you can knock me down.
Yeah.
I'm literally like, I don't know, some serious Jebel vibes. Yeah, you know, yeah, like
your Gibbani roots.
Yeah, my Gibbani roots. The Urq is so the sass. Yeah, it's just, you can't knock me down. Yeah, life's been tough. But here I am, kicking.
Like a mountain.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Resilience. That's the word, resilient. I think I'm very resilient.
Okay, so where can people reach you if they want to find you?
Okay, so I can be reached through my business account because I run it at the moment. And it's at by.rahina on Instagram. I only have Instagram. And I also started my art page, which I don't post about that much, but it's at Fats, F-A-T-Z, Saeed. And that's where I post about my creative journey, my photography or iPhone photography, my books, which I'm obsessed with. And just basically, it's my public page for my creative journey, basically. Bima ma'na, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you for blessing us with your presence and your insights and just your energy. It's always nice, Yani, talking to you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. More to come, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yeah. Hopefully this episode empowered you, enlightened you, and enhanced your quality of life. And stay blessed. Hope you guys have a radiant day, inshallah. Thank you.
Inshallah. Thank you.